Hello, you all. Welcome to another episode of the Tech Doctor Podcast. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. And along with me, I'm hoping, is Allison Hartley. Are you there, Allison?
I think so.
Excellent. You sound like you are.
I've had three cups of coffee, so I darn well better be.
All right. Present and accounted for. Well, the Tech Doctor Podcast has been on a bit of a hiatus, I guess. It was mid-June the last time we published something, and that's mostly because I've been gone. We had a lovely vacation in Ireland, which we'll talk about on a future podcast. But how have you been for the last month or so?
I have been doing great, just kind of trying to keep up with all of the Apple betas. I have partitioned my hard drive, and I have Yosemite running on there, and I've really kind of taken the plunge and put iOS 8 on my phone because it's my only iOS device currently. So I had the choice of either installing the beta or not. So I'm kind of living on the bleeding edge right now, bonding with my puppy dog who's sleeping under the table right now.
Excellent.
Jeremy has been doing some traveling for work. He got to go to Canada, and actually he's going to be going to Ireland. I can't go because I can't get Gary into the country without all this quarantine stuff you got to go
right,
through.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I'm sad about that, but he's going to scope it out, and we're going to go too at some point.
Excellent.
So it'll be interesting to compare notes.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, it's been a good summer, good couple of weeks.
I just like to say that even though you are fully aware of what you're doing and willing to live on the bleeding edge, I really encourage most people not to install the beta on your primary device.
Yeah, guys, don't. Seriously, if you can get a hold of a secondary device, do it. Right now, I'm trying to save up for possibly a new Mac, so even an iPod Touch was not really in my budget right now. So, yeah, absolutely, don't be an idiot like me and install it on your primary device.
And if you do, don't complain to Apple about things not working right because it is a beta.
Exactly. I have apps that crash all the time now, and all I do is swear and move on because it's a beta.
Right.
And that's going to happen.
And when they say beta, they really mean that it's not ready for prime time.
No.
I took the more conservative approach and bought myself an iPod Touch. And just
well, recently, good for you, Mr. Moneybags, with a newer Mac than mine.
I don't know about the Moneybags thing, but I do spend my money on the technology, that's for sure.
That's true. Well, don't we all?
Yes, I know you do as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just a couple of things I wanted to follow up from the last podcast. Number one, we did a demonstration of Launch Bar, and I'm loving Launch Bar more and more every day.
So great.
But I do apologize to the podcast listeners because I forgot to slow down the speech before doing the demo, and I've gotten some feedback that the speech was hard to understand. And I let that be a lesson to me to never, ever forget to do that again. So I am sorry about that. I'll make sure that we slow them down the next time we do demos. And we're going to do, I think, more of these kinds of things because several people have written and said they appreciate the actual demonstrations, even though I have mixed feelings about doing too many of them. We're going to do some more as time goes on.
Well, and with the world of Apple, kind of with the delicious, juicy fruit of Apple bursting wide open in a few months here, I think that there'll be more reasons to do.
Yeah, we're going to want to demo some of the exciting things from iOS 8 that we really can't talk about yet. And from Yosemite. So there's a lot coming.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, which I guess is a bit of a controversial subject among our community of people who are blind in some ways, but while I am all in favor of and hoping that someday Apple will work to put a notification of some sort in the App Store to let us know whether an app is voiceover compatible or not, I do not share the feeling that a number of people share about a huge reluctance or a huge hesitancy to update apps. And I've heard you know, some people who are really tech savvy say, I've got, you know, 20 apps on my iPhone, but I'm afraid to update because I'm afraid it'll break accessibility. And it is true that it has happened at times in the past where an app has broken accessibility. But I turned on automatic updating of apps as soon as it became available last year, I guess, and have never regretted that. And maybe I'm a bit like my pal Allison here, and I'm willing to live on the bleeding edge more than some people are. But there's almost always another app that will do a similar thing if one breaks, or certainly you can contact the developer and work it out if accessibility gets broken when an update is done. I just don't have the fear that some people seem to have, and I just wanted to touch on that and see if maybe you have thoughts about it.
Well, I don't have that fear either. I personally think that automatic updates are the best thing since sliced bread, and like you, I feel that if an app does break accessibility, you have a couple of avenues that you can follow if the update breaks accessibility badly enough to the point where you can't use it anymore. What you can do is you can write to the developer, like Robert said. And again, there are a ton of other alternatives to these apps that if you're just willing to do a little bit of exploring in the Apple Store, in the App Store, excuse me, or on a website like AppleVis, you will find an alternative that will get you through until such time as the developer responds. And I have found that 8 times out of 10, the developer is going to respond. They're going to say, oops, I'm so sorry I broke accessibility. Let me fix that for you. And in a few weeks, you'll probably have a fully functioning update to that app you liked. And in some cases, you may actually have an opportunity when this happens to discover new apps that you didn't realize might even be a better solution than the one you were using previously. And that kind of brings me to another thought. I've also heard a couple of people saying in the community that, you know, oh, the only place I go now is AppleVis. Now, I would like to first of all say that I think that AppleVis is a wonderful resource. It has revolutionized the way that people who are blind or visually impaired can interact around the topic of Apple products and learn about them. I'm not trying to downplay AppleVis at all in what I'm going to say next, but it is not the only resource out there. I feel that as a community of individuals, we are sometimes a little bit hesitant to embrace change, to venture out, to explore things on our own. And I feel that a lot of things can be accomplished simply by exploring the App Store. Sometimes, even in my case, buying an app or two that turned out to be inaccessible, for which you can get a refund usually, and just learn a little bit on your own, because the people who are submitting reviews on AppleVis are the people who are doing that, people who are downloading an app only to find out that it's inaccessible, or downloading an app to find out that it works beautifully. You have to be kind of a little bit of a like a new frontier adventurer a little bit in this new brave new world of apps. And you have to not be afraid to do that. And I realize for some people there are money concerns, but if that's the case, then look at free or light apps. There are ways to healthily explore and get over fears without jumping in head first. So that's just what I wanted to say about that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned all those things, and I couldn't agree more. It just hasn't really been a problem for me where I've needed to feel like I was afraid to let my apps update. So that's just my opinion, or I guess our opinion about that. And other people have different opinions and maybe different experiences. But I love the auto app updates feature.
Oh, God, it's changed my life.
Yeah, it really does keep things up to date without you having to constantly go and check and see what's new and all that. Today I want to talk about a topic that is not really a pleasant one to talk about, unfortunately. As everyone who's listened to this podcast, and certainly you know, Allison, I'm more or less, if not fanatical, certainly very passionate about backing up my devices. And I believe that backups are very important. I do three for my Mac. As a matter of fact, I do a clone once a week. I have Time Machine running, and I use an offsite backup service called Backblaze. And I think that all these are necessary. And I regularly back up my iOS devices to iCloud and pretty often to my Mac, just so that I have backups. Well, when I came back from Ireland, I stopped in Austin for a couple days. And while I was there, something got a hold of me, and I went to the Apple store and bought a new iPod Touch because I wanted to be able to work with the iOS beta as part of the developer program. So I came home and thinking that it would be just easier and less trouble, I decided to just go ahead and create this iPod Touch as essentially a clone of my iPhone. And of course, not everything will copy over to the iPod Touch because it's not exactly the same as the iPhone. The Compass app, for example, won't copy over because the iPod Touch doesn't have a compass. But you can actually do that. You can tell it to restore this device from a backup of an iPhone. So I did that, and I was happy with everything until I went into my music app and discovered that some of the albums in my music app had songs copied twice. So, for example, song one would be there two times. There'd be two song ones, two song twos, duplicates. And so I thought, wow, this is just crazy. What's going on here? So I deleted the music from the iPod Touch and did another sync, and almost the same thing again, except this time it was different albums that had duplicates. It's like, wait a minute, how could this even be possible? So I thought, well, I'll sync my iPhone and see what happens with it. So again, I did the sync with the iPhone, and it had different duplicated songs. So I had this situation where for some unknown reason, songs were getting randomly duplicated, different songs each time I would sync, or at least that's the way it seemed in the beginning. I'm not absolutely convinced now that the songs were different randomly on the same device. I think it possibly could have been that each device just was essentially corrupted and that they were having the same, but that the sync was doing the same thing each time. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite positive about that detail. So I began to think about how am I going to solve this problem? And the difficulty is that backups are wonderful unless they are somehow corrupted or unless they're somehow defective themselves. Then you're just restoring garbage when you restore from a backup. And this can happen. It doesn't happen that often. These were iCloud backups that I was restoring from, actually, because they were a little newer than what I had on my computer. I decided to, first of all, I didn't know whether the problem was bad backups, the problem was something in the way that iTunes was sending the information to the devices. I just didn't know what the problem was. Mm-hmm. And there's no, that I could think of, no real way to determine that. So I went ahead and reinstalled iTunes, which is not hard to do on the Mac, but it's changed a bit with Mavericks, and I'm sure it will be the same in Yosemite because of the sandboxing rules and so forth. The thing that's changed is you can no longer actually go in and delete the iTunes app from the Mac. You could in Lion and I think Mountain Lion, but I'm not positive about Mountain Lion, but I know in Leopard, Snow Leopard, Lion, you could actually delete iTunes if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But you can't anymore. The operating system won't let you do it. But the good news is you can download iTunes and install it over top of the existing iTunes, and it will replace the necessary files. So I reinstalled iTunes and did a resync, and it didn't make any difference. That didn't help. That iTunes, apparently a bad installation of iTunes, wasn't a problem. So the next thing I did was I created a new iTunes library, and part of my music is such that it's music that I had ripped from CDs and gotten other places in the past, and I have that music stored in a very large folder divided up into albums called MP3, because these are all MP3s. So that was on my hard drive, easy enough to add to the library. But a lot of my music is music that I've actually purchased from iTunes. So fortunately, Apple makes it easy to re-download whatever you've purchased in iTunes. There's a section in the iTunes store that's your purchase history. And you can go there and you can actually select to download all of your music if you want that you've purchased. And that's what I did. And it took a little while, probably took an hour and a half, 2 hours to download all the music, because there was quite a lot that I had purchased. But when I was done, I had everything back. I did another sync with the new music and still had the problem. Things were still, random albums were still duplicated. So at that point, what I did was just went ahead and set up my phone as a new device. Because unfortunately, for whatever reason, the corruption was still there somewhere in the way that the device was communicating with iTunes. Something was wrong. Mm. And clearly that corruption had been passed on to the iPod Touch from restoring it from the backup. So, joy of joys. What I had the pleasure of doing was starting over from scratch on my iOS devices, because I could no longer use my backups.
Yeah, and that was really your only choice at that point.
My only choice. Mm. And this is how I spent the end of my vacation. I was not real happy about it, but I saw that it had to be done, and so when I set up my iPhone from scratch as a new iPhone, what that meant was that I was able to download by hand all the apps that I actually wanted. So I was able to go through and reorganize and get rid of a whole bunch of stuff that I no longer cared about. And it was really a lot like cleaning out your closet in some way. So it wasn't all bad. I mean, I went from 180 some apps down to, I think by the time I was done, I had 62 apps.
Wow.
So I got rid of a whole lot of stuff. And only reinstall the ones that I really use on a regular basis. But the good news again is that you can reinstall apps from the App Store that you've purchased. You don't have to pay for them again. And also, it's easy to do. It's easy to do a search on your purchased apps and find the one that you're looking for. So I'll probably go back at some point when I realize that I need this or that app. I can go back and get it at any time. But once I did this restore back to the original factory settings with no apps on my phone, no music, no nothing, and I did a sync of the music, it worked properly. So I solved the problem, but then had to do the same kind of process of restoring my iPad Air and my iPod Touch as a new device, although once I knew that I had a good backup of my iPhone that had been restored, I was able to use that to at least some degree restore what was on the other device. I still had to go through and customize some things. And of course, I'm so meticulous about it all. I have to have everything in folders and everything organized just the way that I want it. And so it took much longer than it would someone who didn't worry about folders and didn't worry about all that stuff. But the one thing I will say about working with folders these days with iOS 7, it really is possible to move apps into folders and create folders using a Bluetooth keyboard. And I found that to be a lot easier than trying to use the touchscreen to build folders and move apps into folders. And, you know, if people don't know about this, when you want to create a folder, the way you do it, of course, with the touchscreen is you move an app on top of another app. And the way that you do that is you double tap on the app that you want to move, hold your finger down until you hear the sound, and then you can drag the app where you want it to go. And you can do it. It's a bit tedious, but it can be done where you drag the app on top of another app, and then that automatically creates a folder, putting those two apps inside a folder. But if you have a Bluetooth keyboard, you can simply locate the app that you want to move using VoiceOver commands and do a VO Shift M. And that will put you in the mode where you can then move that app to where you want it on top of another app. For example, hit a VO Shift M again, and that will create your folder for you.
That sounds so much easier because it seems like you'd be able to put apps on multiple, you know, say you have an app on page 2 that you want to put on top of an app on page 7. Seems like that would actually make it a lot easier.
Yeah, there are a couple tricks to it. One is that when you are in that state where you're moving the app, and if you want to move it to a different page, you can't use the shortcut keyboard commands to change pages. You have to actually go down to the page selector at the bottom of the page and then switch pages that way by focusing on the page selector and using your up and down arrow to move you to a different page.
Okay, that's not so bad.
But once you understand that, you can move to a different page. Then once you've actually moved the app to where you want it, this is a bug. You can't, at least I can't, actually move another app until I open and close an unrelated folder. So I have to get it out of that mode completely by opening and closing another folder, and then it will let you move another app. That's a bug that I discovered when I was doing this. But, you know, once you understand that, it doesn't take but a second to open and close a folder.
Yeah,
And then you can get on. And believe me, I moved dozens and dozens of apps around all over the place, reorganizing everything on 3 different devices. And this really does work.
Now, at the risk of getting slightly off topic, but I think this could be good information for our listeners, I have not really ventured into the world of folder organization, mainly because I've become quite lazy and just use Siri to launch apps. But if I were to do this, let's say I put all of my apps into, say, right now I have my apps scattered over like 8 pages. Uh-huh. If I were to put them into, say, 8 to 10 folders, would the pages adjust themselves accordingly? Or would I still have 8 folders scattered over 8 pages?
No, as soon as you ended up with nothing on a page, that page would disappear.
Ah, marvelous. Okay.
So when you got down to the point where you only had 7 pages worth of stuff because you had some in folders, now you would only have 7 pages and 6 and 5 and 4 until eventually you got down to the minimum number of pages that would be required for the folders and apps that you have on your device.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
So it really takes care of itself as you're doing that.
I may play with this because I can always reset the home screen.
Well, you know, I don't know that if I hadn't had my apps and folders and been used to that way of locating them. I don't know that I would have gone to the trouble to do this. It's probably mostly about just what I'm used to, because you're right. You know, you can use Siri to launch apps. There are other ways to go about this. Maybe really in some respects, maybe folders aren't as necessary or as useful as they used to be, but it's just how I have my stuff organized.
It's another way. Now, I am really, really meticulous about having my apps in alphabetical order. So pretty much as soon as I install a new app and it gets put on the very last page of all of my apps, I do tend to go and reset my home screen immediately. It has to be in alphabetical order, or else, you know, the world will end or something.
And so before the world ends, you quickly reset your home screen, and that,
yes. And thus I save the world sometimes several times a day. You're excellent. Welcome. You're welcome, Tech Doctor listeners.
Yes. That is awesome that you do that, because we like this world and we don't want it to end suddenly.
Yeah, it's better than the alternative, I suppose.
So I haven't actually done this. I'm assuming that when you do reset your home screen, it automatically alphabetizes.
Yes, and I have heard that if you reset your home screen, it wipes out all of your folders as well. So proceed with caution.
Well, I don't plan on doing that.
Yes.
Because I've invested a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in these folders.
I would imagine literally.
Yeah. So corrupted backups happen sometimes, and there's nothing to be done about it. A couple things that really helped me a whole lot in this process were, as I mentioned, the Bluetooth keyboard was a big help. And the second thing that helped me a lot was the fact that I keep all of my passwords and information that I need regarding my devices in a password manager called 1Password. So it was easy for me to look up things that I needed when I was installing these apps, like my Dropbox password, for example, or the password that keeps everything in sync when I use TuneIn Radio or when I use the I Read It Now app. And that's another, you know, real issue of concern, is the I Read It Now app is a really great app that lets you keep track of what books you're reading, and it lets you keep track of it in a database across multiple years. The problem, of course, is that database is stored on your device, and if you have to reinstall everything on your device, delete everything, you lose that database, as you lose all of your data in every app. And so with the I Read It Now app, they do have an option that allows you to store your data on their servers. And the real reason for that is so that you can keep your data in sync across multiple devices. But it's so nice to have these cloud options, because all the data just came back down to my phone from the I Read It Now server. So I didn't lose anything in terms of keeping track of which books I'm currently reading and the number of books I read this year and so on and so forth. And the same thing is true with a lot of these cloud options. All my passwords, which I store in Dropbox and in an encrypted vault from 1Password, all those came back to my devices. And you know, on and on and on. I mean, it's just so helpful that so much of this now, if you are willing to use the cloud and trust the cloud, so much of this is 1,000 times easier to restore than it used to be.
I recently did the clean out when I installed iOS 8 because I realized there are just so many apps hanging out on my device that I didn't even use. So I just went through and completely installed from scratch. I unfortunately did not back up my I Read It Now database. And to be honest, I've been kind of failing at keeping track of my books anyway. So I think we'll just start fresh in 2015 with that.
There you go. Well, that is a thing, is that, you know, it's really, I found that I really needed to sit down before I did this and think about, okay, what, and I kind of went through my apps and said, okay, am I going to lose, when all this data is gone from this app, what am I going to lose here, and do I have a way of getting it back? because that is one of the things about iOS, which is good and bad, is that anytime you delete an app, you also delete all of its data.
Yep.
And that keeps things clean and keeps the corruption down and, you know, makes it all work quite a bit better. But it is a real issue with apps that you become dependent somehow on that data. And if you can't get it from a backup, you know, you've kind of lost it.
Yep.
So I don't think there's really anything else to say about this issue. I hope that describing this experience gives people some things to think about. That's really what I wanted to accomplish, was just to talk about, if you have to go this route, it can be done. It is a good idea, at least in my experience, to sit down and think it through before you just press that erase all content and settings button, so that you kind of know, you have a plan for how you're going to proceed from there. I will say that I did spend quite a bit of time on the phone with Apple tech support while I was working my way through this process, and the person that I worked with was nothing short of spectacular. He was completely attentive, completely there with me, and called me back several times to check and see where I was in the process, how it was going, answered any questions that I had. I would just say, in my experience, Apple Tech Support is really second to none.
Oh yeah, they're fabulous. I've had to deal with them a couple of times over the years, both, you know, on the phone, especially with the new accessibility number, which is great, and in stores, and everybody. I mean, everybody who is part of the Apple experience, you can tell they're there because they want to be.
Yeah, my wife had a problem with her iPhone 5 not too long ago, where for some reason it just wasn't unlocking a lot of times when she would press the sleep-wake button. And we walked into the Apple store, showed them the problem, and within 10 minutes, she had a new replacement phone.
Oh, that's great.
Well, the topic of backing up and keeping track of your data is an important one, and we hope that we have given you some ideas that you can use in this fairly brief discussion. And if you have comments or questions about this whole topic of what do you do after a corrupted backup, please send us your email. We're always happy to hear from you. And the email address is techdoctor@dr-carter.com. So until next time, we'll be back with something brand new. This is Robert the Tech Doctor saying bye for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.